should help the Lord by please word for this morning from Luke 24. I read verses 5 through 7 as text verses for this sermon. Luke 24, verses 5 through 7. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. The theme for the sermon is, Why seek ye the living among the dead? We have 3 points of attention. The first point is serving. Second point, corrected. And the third point, encouraged. So the theme is, Why seek ye the living among the dead? 3 points, serving, corrected, and encouraged. Congregation, recently I read an interview with a man. He's 74 now, doing work in prisons in the Netherlands, visiting, preaching. He was looking back over his life. He said, My mother died when I was 8 years old. Or should I say young? Just 8 years. And he had one brother, 11 years. So then they had to miss that mother. Can you imagine that? 8 years old? Are you 8 years old too? 11 years old maybe? Something like that? And to lose your dear mother was so hard. And, well, the father married again, but it sounded like they were not all joyful for these young boys, those two brothers. So he said, we many times, we regularly would go to the graveyard, to the cemetery, my brother and I. We would sit there, the grave of our mother, and we would cry. See that? Those two boys crying. How many times did I see it? How many times did you see it? People crying. I remember that a cousin of me died, and I was young, but we went there and I saw his sister standing next to the coffin and crying desperately. She loved her brother so much. Oh, death is so hard. It's such a horrible thing that beloved ones are separated by death.
How many tears have there been in this world history throughout the whole world because of death? And this morning, on the early morning, the early hours of the first day of the week, we see some women going to the grave, and we cannot even find words to describe the sorrow in their hearts. They not only lost their beloved one, but they also lost their hope. It was everything. He was everything to them, the Lord Jesus Christ, and they lost him. And they brought him to the grave. They buried him. And a big stone was put in front of the grave, the opening of that cave. There was no way that they would have joy again. That's what they thought. No hope anymore. There they go. Very early, on the first day of the week, after the Sabbath, which was in the Old Testament times, in the last day Saturday. And they want to go there to serve with all the love of the hearts, to do a last service to the Lord Jesus Christ, and nothing can stop them. You understand that? Nothing can stop them. They have to do this service of love. Did you ever experience that? And nothing can stop you. You have to go to serve the Lord Jesus. It might be with a heart full of sorrow and full of hopelessness, but you have to go there. There is such a drawing power in His love. You remember the days of the first love of Christ in your life? You remember how He has taken your heart, possession of your heart, dominion in your life? They go. Nothing can stop them. They are moved by love, and love is strong, stronger than death. They rose very early in the morning. No, they didn't want to stay in bed. They had to go. And they worry. They worry about the stone. Because they know that they know it's in front of the cave of the grave. But that's gonna stop them either. They have to go. They have to serve Him. But what about the danger? Remember a few days ago, your master is killed because of the hatred among the people against him. And what about the hatred against those that follow him? And no, that cannot stop them either. They have to go there. It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful to see people who love the Lord and want to serve Him. It's so encouraging to see that in this world, yeah, there might be a lack of profound knowledge. There might be a need of more teaching in their lives. But that zeal in the heart, that sincerity in the desire to serve the Lord Jesus, it's so encouraging. It's so good to see it. It's so hard to see lukewarmness in the church. We don't see that in the lives of the women. But it's so discouraging if you see lukewarmness, and we do see it. If people are kind of indifferent about the servant of the Lord, and whether there is not a zeal to be there where Christ is, that's discouraging. That makes you wonder how it is possible, how people can be so careless about the service of the Lord, so indifferent about it. Why people show such a lack of faithfulness, you just cannot comprehend it and understand that. Or do we? Are we better? No. The love of Christ makes the difference. If we have a zeal in our hearts to serve the Lord, it is just because He has poured out His love in our hearts. There's no reason that you would boast. It's just humbly, Lord, I'm no different than any sinner in this world. I'm the chief of sinners. But this love of Christ is making all the difference. There they go. They bring the spices, and they've done the work to prepare it. Everything is showing their zeal. They've paid the money. But there was no need for this service. That's something to think about. They seek the living among the dead. They don't know that yet. But they have to learn this lesson.
There's no need that they would serve Christ. No, he is so self-sufficient. He has all the power. He is no more there in the grave, in the sepulcher. They thought the stone would hinder them, but the stone was rolled away. No, there's no doubt about their sincerity, about their zeal, about their love, but there's trouble with their insight and their knowledge. They need instruction, correction. They need the words of the angels sent by God, those heavenly messengers, to speak to them, to bring light and understanding. Are you also experiencing that there is such a hindrance? How many people who go to church, who attend the services, who come under the word, feel like, yeah, there is a drawing power in him, but how can I get there? How can I ever remove that big, big stone that is in between? I want to serve him. I want to spend my money, my time, my gifts, my energy, my strength for him. I see he is worthy. But that stone is in between. How can I do it? Is that your struggle, your question? You feel like there's such an impossibility at your side. And this morning we received this joyful message that God has provided in all the need of the women. The stone is removed, even if an earthquake was needed to scare the guards away. Even if angels were needed to roll the stone away, God is providing all these things. Isn't that the gospel tiding, the message of the gospel? That it is all his work. How many times did you hear it? Did you grasp it? Did you receive it in your life? Did there come a point in your life that you saw, like the women saw, that their service is not needed, that Christ is not dependent on them, but they have to depend on him? He came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom, as a payment for many. That's what he has done. And they have to live out of this fullness of Christ. He is risen. He is not here, but is risen. Or they come there, and they come there, and the stone is removed, and they see money's not there. It's confusing them, their purpose. They don't know how to think about it, what to think about this. This is the most joyful thing. He is not here. His body is not here anymore. And they don't get it. They're confused. And that happens too. It happens too so many times in our lives, that the Lord is working in our lives, revealing his work to us, in doing things, and we just don't understand it. And we're just confused about it. It seems to be against us. This is so against our way of thinking, against the way of thinking of the women. They thought, we go in there and hopefully we find a way to remove the stone, and then we can take care of his body. And that's what we have to do. That's our service to the Lord. And so it has to go. And then it goes, it's totally different. Isn't that what the Lord is doing in our lives? that things happen that we did not expect, and that we think they should not happen in our life. It seems like it is against us. His body is not there. Now we cannot serve the Lord. We want to serve the Lord. And now we are not able to do it. The Lord is making things happen in our lives that we don't understand. It's also confusing. And then what do we need? What do we need in such situations, young people? Maybe something is happening in your life that are so opposite of what you expected would happen. So against what you hoped it would happen. And what do you need in such situations? You need faith. You need faith to trust the Lord that He does not make mistakes, that it feels wrong. Maybe someone has stolen body. Yeah, that's what they think. They think it's all going wrong in our lives now. We have our way. We have thought about the way we have to go, we want to go, so that we can serve the Lord, that everything will be well, and then the Lord is turning everything upside down. There we stand, like a man perplexed. His body's not there. This is terrible. Now we cannot do what you want us to. You wanted to serve the Lord, now we can't serve the Lord. And so, yeah. Perhaps you can say we need faith, but that's so easy to say that. By the way, can I have faith? I don't have it. How can I trust the Lord in all this confusion? Well, in the way the Lord is working with faith here in this scripture part. How does He do that? He is doing that by speaking to them. So faith, what is faith? Faith is resting in the Word of God. That you embrace the Word. That it becomes truth for your heart. That you trust it. That it becomes reality in your life. Of course, the Word is true. I believe it. Well, I do not mean like that you believe that everything happened historically. That's good. But you need more. It's like that your heart will embrace it. That it becomes powerful in your life. That you surrender to it. Yeah, that's why you have to hear the Word. That's why you come to church. That's why you should be faithful in going to church. Because God is blessing the means. And then faith and surrender in our hearts, in all our confusion, questions. Impossibility, not understanding, but just believing that it is true. What is true? The Word is true. The promises of God are true. Like you're sitting here maybe in your confusion, in being perplexed, the Lord has taken things away in your life that you didn't expect would happen, like they don't find a body here. Then the angels come. Angel means a messenger. God is sending His word also this morning. He is giving the word to the priest. And how many times did that happen? And then you hear the word. And you might hear a promise of the word, like that all things have to work for good. For those that love Him, that are called according to His purpose. So against that you feel. You don't feel that this thing that happens in your life can work for good. But then to embrace these words and to rest your soul in it and to find peace in the simple faith, not feeling it yet, but understanding it, but just receive the word in your heart. Lord, this is thy word, and it is true. Yeah, to live by faith, not by hands, but not by sight. The lesson is, the Lord is sending his angels. Two men stood by them, a message from heaven, in shining garments, angels. And they are afraid, they bow down their faces. And that often is the first reaction. When the word becomes powerful in our hearts, or when we see ourselves confronted with the glory of the word, the glory of heaven, and we become aware of who we are in our need, yeah, there can be the fear in our hearts, in the sight of the glory of God. Like we remember that Isaiah had fear, that Isaiah 6, when he saw God's glory, or Peter, when he saw the glory of Jesus, he fell down, he had fear, they bowed down their heads. But those angels speak, and they speak in correction. Yes, that's true. We need that. We need that so many times. So I hope that the Lord has learned you the lesson that you needed. We, you know, a big problem is our pride, that we think that we are wise in ourselves and do not need correction and instruction of the word. We have our minds set in a certain way about the gospel, and we think, this is how it is. This is the gospel. And then that's probably the way it fits us. And we're not ready to be corrected. But even God's children need correction all the time from the word and from the preaching of the word. And to receive correction, you need a humble spirit, a childlike fear of the Lord. And pride is a horrible hindrance in that. And there will be a lot of darkness and a lack of strength because of that. If you do not receive the word, I'm not ready to be instructed. I know. You're not going to tell me something. I found it out myself. And you know, this is how it is, and you know, there's always, always need of being led further by the Spirit and by the Word. That will never finish in this life. You have to be convinced about it. And where you really are humble about what you are convinced about it. So those angels are going to correct, are going to correct those women. And they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? Oh, what a powerful question. It has so much instruction in it. Why seek ye the living among the dead? They seek the Lord Jesus. That's good. Oh, it's beautiful. Young people, children, when I can see that you seek the Lord Jesus, that is rejoicing for my heart, for your parents, for the congregation, and you sincerely seek Jesus. But the next question is, where do you seek him, or how do you seek him? That those women seek him where he is not. So that's a danger. That's like something we have to be aware of, that we can't be so wrong. It's the way we seek the Lord Jesus, to seek to serve him. They seek him among the dead. So let's try to make it more practical and more apply more for ourselves. It could be that you are seeking and you say, I cannot find him. I'm discouraged about it because I've, I'm, I've been seeking for a long time, and I do not find the Lord Jesus. Maybe it's not for me. Maybe I'm just a reprobate. Now you should be familiar. Really depends on the Lord. It's not good to think about when you're seeking the Lord, you shouldn't think I'm just a reprobate. That's something Satan might be whispering, is whispering. So, but it can be, and probably, and it is, that you're seeking the wrong way. And what can be a wrong way? Well, a wrong way is when we seek the living among the dead. Christ is the living one, and we might seek him at a spot where we cannot find him. So, well, what do we mean, for example? Can you explain that? Well, we are like the women when we seek Christ in the experiences we have heard from others. You know what I mean? You understand what I say? You have listened to other people. Maybe you have read about their testimonies on the internet, or you have books about how people are converted, how they experience Christ in their lives, and you are impressed by it. And you think, this is how it has to be. If it would be real in my life. So what are you going to do? You're going to seek for those experiences in your life. And you're going to find them. And I should feel like this, and I might have that insight like this people. Some people describe even experiences like visions. They see Jesus as a light, lighting a person, shining brightly in heavenly. Now, to be honest, I've never seen such a vision. I cannot judge about others, you know. I'm not saying that it is impossible in certain situations, but I do say that you don't need that. If you have the word, and you need the word, you have everything that is needed and used by the Holy Spirit to bring you to Christ. But it is a danger if you are looking to the experiences of others and use that as a standard. Think, I have to feel like this, I have to experience this, and then there will be a real spiritual life in me. Then I will be saved. When you see the living among the dead, there's no saving power in those experiences of others. There is saving power in Christ. And Christ you find in the Word, which is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And which the Holy Spirit is bringing to the hearts of people. And that word is convicting about our sin and need of Christ, but also about his sufficiency. And that it is not only for others, but also for me, so that I rest my soul in it, that I embrace it with arms of faith. So are you seeking the living among the dead? Stop doing it. Hear the word of God. Seek him where he is found, to be found. In Scripture. And pray for the Holy Spirit. And listen to the word. It's about you. No, not about your neighbor. When the word is pointing out sin, it's about you. It's easy to see sin in the lives of others. It's hard to see sin in your own life. To see it in such a way that you give up in trying to save yourself. Because this is not a way that you might see the living among the dead. When you try to improve your life by doing all kinds of good things. Is that wrong, Pastor? No, I'm not saying that. To do good things is not wrong, but when you try to save yourself by works, that is like seeking your living Christ, the Savior, among the dead. There's no power in it. There's not even one work that you could do in this world, in this life,
that could make you acceptable to a holy God? Well, we probably don't have a good understanding of His holiness. That's part of the problem, that we try to work. You've heard about God, you've read the Bible, and you have looked in your life and you see there are sins in my life. I do wrong things. I want to change that. So you start to work. That's our first inclination usually. We try to do good things because then I start to feel better. And I want to feel better. So we help our neighbor. Good. But don't make it a foundation for yourself. We help our neighbor. We donate money. We read more in Scripture. We pray more. We talk more about those things. We attend church more. We do some service in the kingdom of God. It's all great. But they cannot pay for your sin because we lack so much, even in our best works. When I pray, I'm so easily distracted. My mind is wandering away. Is that holy? Like God is demanding? No, it is not. When I donate money, I have something in me that I kind of am so inclined to give glory to myself. Or like it when people would praise me for that. For any service I do to my neighbor. But all glory should be to God. It isn't only what you do. There are all stains of sin on your best works. So if you seek your salvation there, you seek the living among the dead. So quit doing that. Stop doing that. You should do those good things. I'm not saying you quit doing that, but don't look to them. Don't look to them for comfort, for feeling better. But look to Christ. Look there, He's hanging. Crucified. But He didn't stay there. He is risen. And that is the powerful way of God to bring His saving work to light. His saving work to light. And to prove the sufficiency of it. The Father is satisfied with it. Why would you seek the living among the dead? Yeah, you could, let me mention one more, about how you could seek the living among the dead. Pastor, I like it when there is a way of serving the Lord, when there is a service when my emotions are touched. That's something that makes me feel closer to God. When I have something in the service what is really stirring up emotions in my life, it's beautiful to see. I understand it. I have it too. I understand what you're saying. I'm the same. When I looked up the text that I wanted to preach about, looked a little bit on Google, and then I saw a beautiful song about it. Beautiful. Someone was singing a solo about the text. I listened to it, and it's really touching my heart. Just the effect of emotion because of the beauty and things that are performed in service of the Lord. The music, the singing. Is that a living connection by faith to Christ? It can be used in a certain way. It can be blessed, but be careful. Be careful. It has to come deeper. I mean, I always feel like the seed that was falling on rocky ground and grew up fast and then it withered in a situation like it has no roots, in a situation like emotions are touched in religion, in the service of the Lord, But there's no change of the heart. There's no broken heart. There's no insight in what I've done against God. And so, I would say in any religion in this world, emotions are dust and people go for it. I'm motivated by their emotions. But the true religion of Christ is different. That's about a broken heart and a contrite spirit healed by the power of his work on the cross and his resurrection. And that's a deep, powerful, and lasting motivation of Christ working in me, so that I am dedicated to a new life. And that's ongoing, that's continuing, that Christ is working with the power of the heart. So beautiful things, performances in worship, it might be sometimes preparing our heart, but be careful, there should be more, it should be deeper. Not just feeling good because your emotions are touched, but there should be a unity by true faith with Christ. And that true faith is working even when you don't feel good. You know, because feeling good is a fruit of it. But in the darkest night, when I don't feel good at all, because I see who I am for God, and then I look to the living Christ, and still I find strength in him. And as a fruit of that, yes, sooner or later there will be the emotions, but they are a fruit. They are not my savior. Don't seek the living among the dead, but seek Christ in his words, in a way of repentance and through faith and conversion. Turn away. Turn to him. And in that way, away from your sins. Let us sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 29. It says, I want to kill 29. It says, I want to kill on more that fly. And hold back all we can. 21. Verse 29, sorry. 29 also.
Thank you.
bringeth correction, but the Lord is also bringing encouragement. How good is the Lord? We need that so much too. We not only need instruction and correction, but also encouragement. You can be so easily discouraged. It's a sharp weapon of Satan to discourage us. But how encouraging are the words spoken by the angel? He is not here, but... Is she stolen? No. But is risen. And then again, there is correction. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. But these words are also full encouragement. You have to remember what he spoke. Did he not say that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again? The third day rise again as today. It must be. Why does that mean? Why must it be? Because it was in the counsel of God. And God's counsel will happen. God's plan will happen in this world and in my life and with his church. And his plan is only good. I have my way. But he has his way. And his way is higher than my way. Higher because I could never think out the wisdom of it. Higher because his way in my life and your life is fruitful for me. And Christ had to suffer to be fruitful. The corn of wheat had to fall in the ground and to crop to bring forth fruit, to bring a new plant. So you have to die. I have to die. And I fight against it. That's terrible. That's my nature. I fight against God's way. Because it doesn't feel good. It doesn't seem to be good, but it is good. So again, what do we need? We need faith. Trust the Lord. And, yeah, faith is resting in the Word of God. That's what I said, do you remember? And they forgot about it. So there was no faith. At least, I mean, there was no exercising of faith. And when the angel spoke it, and then it says in verse 8, and they remembered his words. You never had it? Oh, yes, that's true. He has spoken this. Now you remember. Of course. How could we forget? Did you never have it? That at a certain point in your life, something happens. And then, so hard for you. So difficult. You don't understand it. Why does it happen? How can this be good? And then all of a sudden, like, it's like God is opening your mind, your memory. Isn't it what the Lord Jesus has promised to the disciples? That he would send the Holy Spirit and he would make you remember all the words which I spoke to you, that you remember. But Scripture says this about it. And then you're set free out of the snare of darkness and being tested, isn't it? How can this be good? And then all of a sudden you might remember what's written in the letter to the Hebrews, that the Lord is chastising those who love, who he loves. And a child that he accepts. Oh yeah, so this is not bad at all. It feels bad. It's like, you could say it's like when it's raining. This week we had some rainy days. And we might say, probably we shouldn't say that. You might say bad weather today. You might say it's ill because you cannot play outside. But is it bad? It's not bad. We all know that we need it so much because then it makes the fields fruitful, fertility,
to the soil. It's actually good. Oh, if that would be there, there would be no fruit. And that's the same. Those trials in my life, the chastisement of God is like the rain, making my heart fruitful. And then I remember it. So, I mean, what I want to say also this morning is it's good that you memorize things, children. Scripture verses, catechism, questions, answers, young people. Because God is using that. You might say, well, what's the use of it? I forget it immediately. I forget it anyway. Well, wait a minute. So let me give you an advice. Start early in the week. Memorize and repeat it. If you start Monday and you repeat it every day, and then you know it easily at Sunday, and you will not forget it so easily. So that's something you should remember. But also, although you might feel even after this Lord's Day, a week afterwards, I forgot about it. It's not really true. It's somewhere in your mind. And then in due time, maybe when you're attacked by Satan in a dark night, maybe when there's a heresy and a false teacher coming your way, God by His Spirit is calling it into remembrance, like the angels do here today. And what a blessing, you're set free out of this now. So I want to encourage you to memorize these things. And they remembered His words. Remember how He spake unto you when He was yet in Galilee. Don't you remember? If they had not forgotten it, they would not have so much sorrow, would they? Yes, it was hard to see the Lord Jesus die on the cross and to bury Him, but they would have remembered that the third day He will rise. And they would have had a living expectation in their hearts. So that would make a big difference for the sorrow in their lives, isn't it? So they have to blame ourselves. They have to blame themselves for the deep darkness, sorrow, and hopelessness if they had remembered. Oh, if we would dwell more in the Word of God, it would prevent so much darkness in our lives, and so many tears would not be shed if we would live more in the Word. If we would remember more that Christ has spoken, I will come again. I will return in glory with the clouds. Your life will be different. You will have expectation in your heart. You will see this journey on earth is not easy at all. This life is a veil of tears. But it won't last long. And then I will be in the Lord. Do you have to discern your heart? I think last week I asked a professor away in another very godly man. Sister Church of the Free Reformed Church in Netherlands. Very wise man. 89 years old. And before he died, he spoke and he said, I have such a desire to be with the Lord, to see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you can tell it was true, isn't it? This was the way he was living. If you remember the Word more, it makes such a difference. And they remembered His words. We forget easily. Do I have to go to church? I've heard this message so many times. Do you think that you don't forget it? Do you think that it doesn't fade away from your memory? Don't you think that you have to hear it again? I discover new things in words all the time. And you too, probably. And don't you need the authority of someone speaking to you, actually God speaking to you through man in proclaiming His word, so that you would remember and would believe, and that's what happens here. The Son of Man must be delivered under the hands of sinful men, was in the counsel of God,
There had to be a sacrifice to pay for sin. And it was all for your benefit.
It rained in your life. That suffering, that trial. It was heaven.
But he is risen.
Yes, that had to happen too.
For our justification. That's what Paul says in Romans 4.
If the Lord had only died on the cross and not resurrected. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, our priesthood would be in vain, our faith would be in vain. So in other words, the cross is not the last thing you have to say.
Yes, it is true, everything is finished, but the resurrection had to happen to bring it to light, to bring it out, and to bring it in your heart, to apply it as what Christ is doing by his Spirit.
Yes, boy.
And all the time that his word is proclaimed, the Holy Spirit is at work
to apply it,
to make it powerful in your heart, so that you
receive peace with God by faith, being justified. And what are those people going to do?
They returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to all the rest.
Oh, they returned. You see them going?
They were ready to tell it others.
They believe.
Although the disciples think these are idle tales, just talking of these women.
No, it cannot stop them from dying. They have to bring it out. You can see them going, isn't it, those women? Everything is different now.
Oh, everything looks so joyful. It looks like everything is new. The sun is shining in a different way. Everything is so bright because Christ is alive. He is not dead. He is living. It makes all the difference for the experience of God's child. Why would I be discouraged? Why would I be
continuing in sin?
Because Christ is alive. And he has all the power. And he has everything that needed to be done. He has accomplished it.
Oh, you understand something like that? I remember a man, the Netherlands, the word became powerful in his life. He was always kind of depressed. And then at a certain point, it became so clear that Christ has done everything. And he is the living one. He said, everything with you. Everything was different. You understand something of the joy?
It's like when you went through a deep trial. You didn't know how to get out and it was solved. You were saved out of it. It was removed out of your life. It's such a relief.
Yeah, then you wake up and you think, oh, it's no more care. That you may wake up every day, oh, Christ is alive. He's risen. He's a living one. Do you think about him like that? As the living Savior. As the one who's present. As the one who has the power to help you to wash your sin away. And to keep you from Satan. And all the temptations of this world. And that one day you will be with him. Do you think? Oh, I want to ask that question. Children, young people, adults, do you think daily about the fact, the reality that Christ is alive? And do you lift up your heart to be with him? I'm not saying that I'm doing that like I should. Let's do that. And then one day we will be with him and see him like he is and rejoice in him forever and ever. Amen.
Let us pray. Let us close.
The Lord Almighty and merciful God, we thank you for that word that Christ is alive. It makes all the difference. It's such a shining light from thy word in our lives if we believe it. And Lord, why would we be discouraged? Why would we be full of sorrow? Yeah, when we when we forget about it, when we don't remember it, like the women, then people have sorrow and lack of hope like they had. We need those messages from heaven. We need the preaching of the gospel. We need to hear that voice proclaimed in the word. And then we will remember. And then we will witness about it. Lord, forgive us. The many times we forget about it. The many times that our heart is not ready to receive this message. Maybe so close. Like a rock. So hard, so cold, so occupied by the things of this life. The Lord, this life is short. It will soon be passed. But then we have to stand before His living body. We have to appear before His judgment seat. Oh Lord, we pray that His power will be revealed in our lives, so that we will stand before Him without fear, but rejoicing in His love forever. Lord, hear us. Bring us this night, this evening in Thy house, and help this afternoon in preaching in jail. Lord, and help work in the hearts of the inmates, that they may see He is risen. Oh Lord, hear us. And forgive us our sins in Jesus' name.